Welcome to the Religious Feminism Podcast. I'm your host, April Young Bennett. Today is our first newsreel episode. In this episode, we'll talk about what's happening among feminists of faith in the news. First, let's talk about an unfolding story in the Southern Baptist community. Their annual meeting is coming up shortly, and the president of the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, Paige Patterson, was selected to give the keynote. Advocates for women were not pleased with this selection because Paige Patterson has a history of teaching very sexist doctrines about women. Let's listen to a clip that these advocates brought to light.
I had a woman who was in a church that I served, and she was being subject to some abuse. And I told her, I said, all right, what I want you to do is every evening I want you to get down by your bed just as he goes to sleep. Get down by the bed, and when you think he's just about asleep, you just pray and ask God to intervene. Not out loud, quietly, but I said, you just pray there. And I said, get ready, because he may get a little more violent, you know, when he discovers this. And sure enough, he did. She came to church one morning with both eyes black, and she was angry at me and at God in the world, for that matter. And she said, I hope you're happy. And I said, yes, ma'am, I am. And I said, I'm sorry about that, but I'm very happy. And what she didn't know when we sat down in church that morning was that her husband had come in and was standing at the back, the first time he ever came.
So this is a pretty clear example of a male clergyman in a patriarchal religion who is putting the ecclesiastical needs of men in his congregation above the safety needs of the women. And this is a pretty common problem in patriarchal religions, not just among Southern Baptists. Because men are given so many important roles in church that women are excluded from, they tend to be prioritized. It can lead to a culture where women's needs simply aren't met. Of course, the kind of things Paige Patterson are talking about are pretty extreme, even among a complementarian religion, and many advocates for women who are Southern Baptists are saying that his remarks are not doctrinal. This is not what the Bible teaches, and this is not what their doctrines of complementarianism mean. As this controversy continued, other tapes surfaced, which show Dr. Patterson talking about other questionable views about women. For example, there is a tape in which he talks about the body of a 16-year-old in a sexual way and dismisses a woman who tries to encourage a more respectful and appropriate approach. A woman who was pursuing her master's degree in women's studies at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, where Paige Patterson was president at the time, reported that she had been raped, and she reported it to Paige Patterson, who instructed her not to tell the police. Instead, the woman was put on probation at school. She says she doesn't know the exact reason why, but she believes it was because, while reporting the rape, she admitted that the man had been alone with her in her apartment, which was against seminary policy. Other women who attended Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary under Patterson's direction reported that sexual harassment was rampant at the school, as well as discrimination based on sex. I should clarify that while complementarianism is commonly talked about among Southern Baptists, there are Southern Baptists who don't support that and don't believe it's doctrinal. They say that this doctrine comes from a misinterpretation of the book of Genesis in the Bible, in which Eve is told, "Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." These theologians who don't support complementarianism say that here the Bible is describing a curse. Southern Baptist minister Wade Burleson says, "Anytime you see a man dominating, controlling, and subjecting women, he is living out the curse. Jesus reverses the curse." One report that particularly caught my attention was by Tricia Dimmitt, who attended Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. "As I've studied the lives of suffragists Lucy Stone and Antoinette Brown, some of the first women to attend college in the United States. It's been interesting to learn about how much they fought for women's rights to give speeches in front of men at school. When they attended college, it was thought improper for women to give speeches in front of men. So while male students would stand up and give their presentations in front of the whole class, women were not permitted to do this. And Lucy Stone and Antoinette Brown and other women worked hard to change this. But as I learned more about the Southwestern Baptist controversy, I found that some women today are still dealing with this sexist rule. Trisha Dimmitt reported that when she was in a preaching class run by Patterson, she was assigned to give a speech in front of women only, and Patterson himself did not attend to grade her speech, but rather sent his wife. Through all this, Southern Baptist women have really banded together. A number of Southern Baptist women began a petition calling for Paige Patterson to be removed as president of the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Thousands of women signed the petition, which argues that Patterson's views are not biblical. They say the fact that he has not fully repudiated his earlier counsel or apologized for his inappropriate words indicates that he continues to maintain positions that are at odds with Southern Baptists, and, more importantly, the Bible's elevated view of womanhood. Patterson certainly hasn't apologized for the recording. He told the Washington Post, "I can't apologize for what I didn't do wrong." The activism of women had good results in this case. Southwestern's board unanimously resolved to terminate Dr. Paige Patterson effective immediately, removing all the benefits, rights, and privileges, including the title of President Emeritus, the invitation to reside at Baptist Heritage Center as theologian in residence, and ongoing compensation. I want to congratulate my Southern Baptist sisters for making yourselves heard, and I hope that your efforts will lead to more positive change going forward. The next story I'd like to talk about is about the Cannes Film Festival. Now, often we act as if our feminists of faith are working in a completely different sphere than feminists in Hollywood, for example, which has supposedly completely different standards. But both Hollywood and many religious communities are patriarchies, and the same problems exist in both, and the Me Too movement has really demonstrated this. The recent Cannes Film Festival was the first Cannes Film Festival since it was reported that director Harvey Weinstein raped women while attending that festival on various years. And the festival has responded by, for the first time, offering a sexual assault hotline at the festival. One thing that would be exciting to feminists of faith, I believe, is that a movie about empowered women of faith, Girls of the Sun, by French filmmaker Eva Husson, received the festival's best screening slot on Saturday evening. And before that screening, female film professionals did a little demonstration to remind the Hollywood community about how women have been underrepresented in the film industry. Over the course of its history, the Cannes Film Festival has featured 1,645 films that were directed by men. However, there have only been 82 films that were directed by women that have been featured. Prior to the screening of Girls of the Sun, 82 women stood on the steps together to make a visual representation of just how few women have been invited to participate in the festival. Girls of the Sun is a fictionalized war movie based on a true story of Kurdish women who fought against the Islamic State. Now, I haven't seen the movie, so I have no opinion either way, but there is a lively debate going on about whether people like the movie because it is good, or whether it is a very poor movie that is liked simply because it is feminist. Like I said, I haven't seen it. Don't ask me. Another fun feminist moment that I thought our listeners might be interested in is that when Kristen Stewart came to the festival, she started out in heels, she threw them off, and she walked in barefoot. This was a little mini protest against a dress code at the Cannes Festival that women are required to wear heels. Obviously, this is a very sexist dress code because men are not required to wear heels, and those of us who have worn heels know that they can be pretty darn uncomfortable. Now, festival organizers have responded by saying that actually there is no official rule requiring women to wear heels. However, there have been several reports of women who have been barred from the festival for doing that very thing. Now, those of us who have worked within religious communities probably can relate to this. For example, in my own Mormon community, we do not have any official rule that says we must wear skirts, not pants, at our religious services. However, many Mormon women have had the experience of their local ecclesiastical leaders barring them from church or calling them in for interviews about their feminist views because they wore pants at church. And the same thing is true at the Cannes Film Festival. Although they may not have any such official rule, many women have reported that they have been rejected from the premises by people enforcing this unwritten rule about high heels. So I thought that was something that we could really relate to. Which brings me to the last story I'm going to talk about, which is happening within my own Mormon feminist community. My own Mormon denomination, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, has just announced that it will stop its role sponsoring Boy Scouts. This is a big deal because the church has been sponsoring Boy Scout troops for 105 years. This seemed like the sort of thing that would never ever change. And it's been an issue for feminists because in spite of this ongoing support for the Boy Scouts, the church has never supported the Girl Scouts or any other scouting program, particularly for girls. The LDS Church is headquartered in Salt Lake City, Utah, which is surrounded by mountains. And so scouting really is a big part of our culture. And when I say that the church has never sponsored scouts for girls, the church has sponsored camps for girls. Camping is a big part of our culture here in the West. The church does sponsor camps for girls. However, because these camps are locally operated and they don't have the kind of funding and the kind of resources that the Boy Scouts program has, it's been a pretty unequal situation. I'm going to link to a couple articles. One is by Emily Clyde Curtis, one of our bloggers, and the other is by her husband, Nate Curtis. And they both served as Cub Scout masters together in the LDS Church. And they talk about the big differences in how Cub Scouts was supported by the church in comparison to the supposedly equivalent church-run program for girls, which was called Activity Days. Cub Scouts were required to meet every single week, while the girls weren't allowed to meet more than once every other week. Scouting leaders received background checks and received training in protecting youth, while there was no such requirement for the people who participated in Activity Days. The scouting program had detailed guidebooks and manuals, while Activity Days had one tiny itty-bitty little pamphlet, which very vaguely described what leaders should do. And staffing was a particular discrepancy. In Nate's article, he calculated the cost of the manpower and the woman power to run these programs in terms of the volunteer hours. And looking at Cub Scouts, we were looking at over $50,000 per year per unit, compared to only about $4,000 in labor investment for the Activity Days girls. So this is a discrepancy that Mormon feminists have been talking about for a long time and have been demanding change for a long time. So you would think we'd be rejoicing right now, but there's a little glitch. This change on behalf of the LDS Church to stop sponsoring Boy Scout troops came only a week after Boy Scouts changed its name to Scouts BSA because they are now allowing girls to join. So this is leading to some very mixed feelings among feminists because at this point, it didn't have to be a sexist program. The church had the option of incorporating girls into scout troops and giving them the same funding, resources, and staffing that they were giving to boys, and instead they chose to drop the program altogether. I think the result is fine. When a reporter called and asked me how I felt about this change, I told them that my daughter has been participating in Girl Scouts for years, separate from the church. She also participates in the church's girls' activities, and it's worked fine to do them separately, and they don't need to be sponsored by the church. And I should clarify here, a lot of times people speculate about why the church has never sponsored Girl Scouts and are worried that it's because the church is opposed to the kind of empowerment that Girl Scouts encourages in girls. I don't actually think that's the case because at least here in my local area, the LDS Church is one of the biggest sponsors of Girl Scouts in terms of monetary donations, even though they don't sponsor troops. So I think they do support Girl Scouts. And I think it will be great in the future to continue to support Boy Scouts in that same way, by offering donations and other kinds of support, but not actually hosting the troops locally within our own congregations. Now, for the past couple of years, there has been something of a disconnect between Boy Scouts of America and the LDS Church, which prior to that seemed to operate pretty much in lockstep, with the church being heavily influencing policy decisions of the Boy Scouts, and not always in ways that feminists were totally comfortable with. For example, in 2015, when the Boy Scouts decided they would allow its sponsors the option of admitting openly gay leaders to the Scouts program, the church released a statement saying that it was deeply troubled by that vote. Mormon feminists were deeply troubled that the church was deeply troubled over being more inclusive. In that same statement, that was the first hint that the church was thinking about going in a different direction when it comes to scouting. What they said is that, as a global organization with members in 170 countries, the church has long been evaluating the limitations that fully one half of its youth face where scouting is not available. So their focus has more been on the issues of boys in countries where they don't have Boy Scouts. But that wording kind of betrays a little bit about the thinking in the LDS Church. Just now when I read that statement, they used the term fully one half of the church's youth to refer to one half of the boys, as if they couldn't even remember the girls were there, because fully one half of the church's youth aren't eligible to be in Boy Scouts, or weren't eligible at that time because they were girls. And now that is changing, and yet church-sponsored troops are no more. So the LDS Church is going to launch a new program for boys and girls starting in January. I am very hopeful that whatever the new program is, it will be more egalitarian. I certainly don't want, and none of the feminists I know want, for boys to receive worse programming. Instead, they want the kind of programming that is offered to girls to come up to that level that boys are currently receiving, so that everyone receives high-quality programs. The LDS Church sent an email to every member telling them about the change and announcing this new program that's going to start in January. And it links to a website where they're talking about the program. And so far, what we know about the program is basically nothing. The website has some pretty pictures of diverse youth talking and chatting together, boys and girls, but it does not say anything about what this new program will be. And so I certainly hope it will be more egalitarian towards boys and girls. And I certainly hope it will be high quality, but no news yet on that front. Thank you for joining our first newsreel episode of the podcast. I would encourage you to visit our episode notes at the Exponent website to read more about these issues and see the original articles. And I would encourage you to leave a comment there to tell me what you think about this format. We will, with our next episode, have another interview. We will continue doing those, but I thought this would be a good way for us to keep up with feminist news. Also, if there is something happening in a feminist faith community that you know about, something that's news that we should talk about on this podcast, I would love to hear from you. Go ahead and mention that in the comments of the episode notes, or you can send me a tweet. My Twitter handle is April Young B. That's B as in Bennett. Again, that's April Young B, and I would love to hear from you. Tweet me those articles you notice about religious feminist news, and we'll talk about them here. Thanks.